I thought we were getting Hollywood insider Mario Lopez on the red or blue carpet, whatever it was last night in Hollywood for the Cowboys Netflix premiere. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. But did all of you, the .com people, stay home in Oxnard?
Wow. So didn't expect to get shots taken at me. Good morning, first of all, guys. Hope you guys are doing great.
We don't do all these pleasantries, Laufenberg. It's just like, why weren't you at the premiere?
Well, we had somebody else on our team plan to go, and then they came down sick. So there was just kind of no real way to rebound and get anybody there on time. But it's all good. We still had some folks there that were covering it for us, and there's an article on our .com site. So if you want your Hollywood insight, Sean, you can go to DallasCowboys.com and read the piece that I wrote last night.
Are people allowed to reveal? What did you hear about the actual film, and how much is actually allowed to be revealed about it before it airs on Netflix Tuesday?
I'll be honest. I don't know what I can reveal about it. I've seen the first three episodes. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a storytelling of the 90s Cowboys, and, you know, some of the, I think, you know, if you've covered the team for a while, you know, most of the stuff is kind of just things you already know, but it's cool to see like a deeper dive into it and see all these personalities and big names talking about it. I think it's really well done, and I think it's going to be something that a lot of people enjoy.
So first three episodes were on the past.
I really think the whole series is on the past. It's about the 90s Cowboys and just kind of the how that was built, how Jerry bought the team, you know, what his philosophy was behind that, things like that.
Your thoughts on the Rams opener and what Brian Schottenheimer wants to clean up?
Well, I think, you know, you don't want to take too much away from one preseason game, right? You don't want to put too much stock into, okay, this is what the team is going to look like. This is what everybody looks like at full strength, because they had 37 players that didn't play, and a good probably 27 or so of those would be guys who are starters or in the starting rotation for you. So that said, you know, I think you look at some of the guys that did play, and, you know, you're a little concerned. I thought against the run, you know, some of the defensive tackles, when I watched the game back, did a better job than I thought they did. And really, it was the linebackers that I thought didn't have the best night stepping up and filling their gaps in stopping the run. I think they got pushed out one too many times. I remember one rep specifically where Drake Stoops, of all people, boxed out Marquise Bell on a run play pretty good. And, you know, Marquise Bell is way too good of a player to be getting boxed out by Drake Stoops. So, you know, it's those kinds of things that, whether it be first preseason game rust or whatever, that you can't have happen. I don't think they were as physical as I was expecting them to be, with how much Brian Schottenheimer has preached physicality in training camp. And then offensively, you know, I think that Joe Milton was just kind of all over the place. I don't think he was settled in. I think there could have been a better job of getting him settled in. You know, I don't know if I would have called six straight passing plays to get a guy settled in. And if I did, I don't think I would be, you know, looking downfield as much as Joe Milton was. But again, you don't put too much stock into preseason games. There's a lot to improve. And I think everything that Shoddy was talking about in terms of what they need to improve was spot on.
Your best guess as to who QB2 will be against Philadelphia will be Joe Milton, Will Greer, or other?
I think it'll still be Joe Milton. I don't think this team makes that trade for him if they don't, and doesn't add anybody else at that specific time if they don't want him to be their backup quarterback. You know, if you go out and get a veteran guy, it's one thing to be a veteran guy, but it's another thing to learn the playbook and get ingrained into the scheme and get familiar with the offense. So, you know, you're taking a little bit of a risk there, bringing a guy in late, albeit he has NFL game experience. You know, he may not be on the same page with the head coach. So, not to say Joe Milton wasn't in that same spot when the Cowboys traded for him, but at least he's further along in that process and has some of the tools that, if they can get refined, you know, he can go out and win some games for you potentially. But, you know, if you're counting on a guy to win you a game for a week, I was going through this exercise with somebody the other day. If you need the Cowboys to win one game, who's your backup quarterback? I would probably lean Will Greer. But if you know, you need a guy for 4 or 5 weeks, then I think you lean Joe Milton just to get the reps. But that's at this point in time. We'll see how he is after two more preseason games and see if he's taking the steps in the right direction.
Okay, so if you say that Milton's still QB2 for Philadelphia, does that mean Will doesn't make the team, or they are going to carry three?
I don't think they carry three. I think it's the more or less what they did. I know they carried three last year. I apologize. I think Will Greer's probably, you look at a practice squad for Will Greer. Obviously, that you take the risk of Will Greer going elsewhere, if that's the case. But I don't think they go three. It wouldn't shock me if they did, just because I know how highly they think of Will Greer. But I think that they'll get to a point where they're confident enough in Joe Milton, whatever that may look like, and they go with him and Dak Prescott.
Tommy Arsch from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Tommy, which side of the ball is more prepared to play week one against the Eagles right now, the offense or the defense? Who's kind of lagging?
I would say the offense. In terms of the starting offense, yeah, I think the offense is more in rhythm. I think having Dak Prescott back under center, it goes without saying, but that's, you know, so big for this team. And, you know, again, I know it gets reiterated and regurgitated all the time, and this is a guy who, before his injury, was a runner-up for the MVP, and I'm not to say that he's going to be that exact same player in 2025, but he's got one of his best supporting casts around him that he's ever had, and I think you're seeing some of that click in training camp practices. You know, will it maybe take a little while for him in that Philly game to get reacclimated to the speed of the game and, you know, playing against another team? Maybe. It depends if he plays in the preseason this year for the first time since 2019, but just because of so many familiar faces in that room for him, I think that they're ready to go, and they're going to be the better unit. And, you know, defensively, that's not to say that they're going to be a poor unit per se, but as long as Micah Parsons is not playing or not on the field or not participating, whatever you want to call it, the offense is at a better spot in terms of September 4th right now.
Tommy, who ends up playing the third most snaps at receiver for the Cowboys this year?
Kevontae Turpin.
Ooh.
I think with how much they've used him in practice, I would be. I could make a case for Tolbert just because of what he was for them last year in that spot. But I mean, it seems like they are not shying away from the fact that they want to get Kevontae Turpin the ball in his hands, and so even if that's just putting him on the field to use him as a decoy because of how quick he is, that's going to open things up for a lot of guys. So they're going to have a lot of speed on the field with, you know, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and you throw Kevontae Turpin into that mix, and Jake Ferguson if you're an 11. And it's going to be hard to guard all four of those guys because, you know, you're going to have to give extra attention to Turpin's speed, and you've got two great wide receivers on either side and then a good tight end at the seam too. So I think that those four make, you know, the most sense just in terms of you're starting three receivers and then you're starting tight end.
I mean, imagine how much more difficult it would be if you actually put Tolbert out there. He's actually done something as opposed to Turpin. What did Jalen Tolbert do to Bobby that makes him want to get rid of him so fast?
Well, that sounds like a Bobby question, not a. I mean, I couldn't tell you what he did to Bobby unless I missed something. If he like dunked on Bobby, no. I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Does he make the team, or is he traded?
No, he makes the team. He makes the team. Now, I think, you know, I've seen a lot of chatter online about, you know, is Jalen Tolbert trade bait? Like, is he a guy that, you know, they could look at moving just because he's got that pretty team leading, led the team in touchdowns tag next to him for next year? I mean, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I don't think it happens as it stands right now just because of how productive he was. But, you know, I will say he hasn't had a great camp. He really hasn't had a great camp, and there have been some days where, you know, you just kind of go, and he just doesn't make a lot of plays. I will say the last week or two has been better for him. I think he's rebounded a little bit, but in those preseason reps that he got, you know, I'm not sure if that's a guy that I would be throwing bubble screens to. I don't really think of him as a guy who, you know, makes guys miss in the open field very well. But with how productive he was and with how familiar he is in the offense and how familiar he is with Dak Prescott, at this point, I don't see any reason why he doesn't make the team or why he gets traded.
And Chop, it's not that he's done anything to me. Jalen Tolbert, I've read some great things about him from Garrett Padel at CBS Sports. But to me, the bigger thing is that the way they've done trades in the past has been Noah Igbinoghene, you go make that trade at the end of camp. You make the Andrew Booth trade at the end of camp. That's how I look at it, Tommy. I just look at it. Tolbert as being, hey, we need some depth somewhere else. Let's trade somebody with some experience for their guy with experience who also is disappointed potentially.
And that's a good point. You know, when you look at this roster, and especially at corner and defensive tackle, I totally see why there is chatter in terms of, hey, we need a veteran one technique that can plug the runner. Hey, we need somebody at corner that can hold us down until, you know, Trevon Diggs, Savone Revel, and those guys get back and healthy and in the mix. So, you know, is Tolbert a guy that could get you a higher quality guy than maybe some other guys on your roster? Absolutely. Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, it just comes down to, are the Cowboys comfortable enough with the rest of that wide receiver room behind him and moving Kevontae Turpin there more full-time to be able to pull the trigger on something like that?
Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys. Sorry I can't be a Hollywood reporter. I'll try better next time.
Yes, try better. We really need that recap. But you already saw the first three episodes. That's all we needed. Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
He's getting sassy as he gets older.
Wow. As he gets older.
Yeah, from what, 19 to 20?
Yeah, as he
found a hair, and now all of a sudden he's...
comes drinking age?
Yeah. He found a hair down there, and now he's like, hey, let me chest up. Let me chest up a little bit. Maybe it's those Oxnard mornings out there.
I'm ready for some jabs during the season now. This is going to be fun. Wow.
Let's finish up Ask Reddit with the KNC masterpiece, Fred Davis's final morning on the midday before the return of Heggie. We'll finish up Ask Reddit with the fellows after this.